Welcome to the Draw Doctors Podcast, your weekly dose of fantasy footy content.
G'day everybody and welcome to the Draft Doctors. I'm your host John Crockett and today we are talking way too early rankings for AFL Fantasy. It is just the OG, myself and Steve. Cam, did someone say KFC McLaughlin is out with food poisoning from popcorn chicken? No, not too sure how that happens, but him and the missus both heads over the toilet in a bit of food poisoning. Steve, how you doing, mate?
Better than Diarrhea McLaughlin, by the sound of it. Didn't think there was any chicken in the popcorn chicken. Thought it was just gristle and fat, so that was interesting. But, yeah, it was interesting yesterday on the Twitters, Jono, or the other day. You know, the sausage in bread situation with the onion over or under the sausage, and I tweeted out, you know, just the correct opinion that onion is, in fact, trash on the sausage in bread. And people were calling it out, saying this is a hot take. I thought it was one of our more mild takes.
I thought it was pretty mild. I completely agree. I mean, onion does not belong on any sort of barbecued meats whatsoever, in my opinion. But the fans have spoken and said, no, they love it. But why do you want it? Because it just
ruins the sausage.
Ruins the sausage experience. It just falls out everywhere. Like, no, you don't want that. No, you want that bread there to absorb the sauce and mop it all up.
I didn't realise how deeply the roots of Big Onion were within the fantasy community, but they've taken hold, my friend.
Well, depending if they're from Victoria or not, but us lucky Metro Melbourne soon get to have a Bunnings snag coming our way, I think start of December, first or second week of December, so a lot of people lining up for that one. But I got a Strample. Haven't done a Strample for a long time. And the Strample is the people of South Australia. Pull your fucking heads in. You had a long weekend, and you're coming out saying this lockdown is the hardest thing you've ever done. Pull your fucking heads in. If you're in Metro Melbourne, you'd know what fucking a hard time is. So all you had was a long weekend. You had 10 slabs. Some people that I actually know bought $450 worth of meat for 6 days. For 6 days. And yeah, they're now going, what the hell do I do with all this meat? Just like the people who bought all the toilet paper in the first panic buying situation.
Well, look, if you're in South Australia, you can just go down the road and get a pie floater and just forget about it. I don't know. They've got it sweet over there. Pie floaters, Jono, it's a good time.
Didn't they have a pie floater parma?
I had that the other week. It was fucking delicious.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever had the pie floater even when I've been to SA. It's just Not my wheelbag.
I can't wait to get back over the border. I love it over there.
Oh, I love it over there too, but yeah, I've just never had the pie floater. Righto. There is no draft this week, as it is only the two of us. It'd be pretty hard, Steve and I, just drafting all things non-Seinfeld characters. It'd just be an Uber draft of all the best characters from that show. So
maybe we should just do... Remember we used to do the top fives? Maybe we should just do the top five things that we hate that everyone else seems to enjoy.
You haven't given me much time to prep on that. Well, what is it?
Well, I haven't prepped it.
We'll see how we go for time, but Jesus, Cam, you've just sent your list in and that is just deplorable. But we've gone through, we've done our early rankings, our top 12 AFL fantasy rankings of where these players are going to finish next year. Might as well go through all our lists. We'll start with Cam's and we'll just dissect it on how they've ranked it. Now, Cam's ranked Jake Lloyd number one. That's a hot take, if you ask me. I mean, I've got him in the 12, but I don't see him at number one. I mean, the guy did average 90 this year, and you add, 20% plus whatever time on we're getting for 2021. Does he beat someone like a Gorn or Grundy who can...
We beat Grundy this year.
Oh, I know. I think Grundy just had a down year because, like a lot of players, their average was down. I know with the time, the quarters were shorter, but I think the bubble got to people. Whereas, you saw Jeremy Cameron had a poor year, Grundy had a poor year. I think some people, it really affected them, just like the whole West Coast team as well. So,
well, the way I've got this is, this is how I've ordered my top 12. Like, this isn't necessarily how they'll finish, but this is how I want to draft them. And I could make the case very easily that Jake Lloyd is clear of the number two defender quite easily. And I think you could make the case that Gorn had, was it the best average or second best average?
Yeah.
He could come down a little bit. Grundy could maintain, and that Riley O'Brien could come up a little bit. So you'd have three rucks, and obviously we've spoken already about there being some good value in the rucks with guys like Tim English and Pruce seemingly having solo roles. So I can see the logic for Lloyd, and if he can maintain these sort of numbers, he's actually a captainable option.
Yeah, he's been like that the last couple of years, I can see it. Yeah, I've got him a little bit lower. I'll go ahead, Lloyd, at number 10 for me.
I have him at 7.
Okay. He's gone with Lachie Neale, number 2. Hard to go past the number 1 midfielder. I can't see him backing it up yet again. And I know Stato's made this thing where you win the Brownlow medal, you've had your peak here. It's hard to go further again. So I see a little bit of regression for Lachie Neale, but he's still going to be a massive scorer.
Yeah, I'm with you. I found it hard to rank Lachie Neale. I wanted to put him in at 4. I've got him in at 2. And again, it is that thing where he's not going to get better than this year. Teams should start tagging him more. Like, my God. And you saw it at the end of the year again. He got a few tags. His finish wasn't as good as his first half, obviously. That's fine. He was still a machine. Feels like a safe pick. Probably won't. Probably comes back a little bit, but will he return value for you if you pick him in the top 5? Probably.
Yeah, I've got him at number 3 for me. He's coming in with Clayton Oliver in at number 3. Again, these last few years, he's averaged pretty well, Clayton Oliver, 105 to 109. His average this year, if he would have been about 110. If they played the full season, so would have had a career year for Oliver. Number 3 feels a bit high for me. I know we've seen the emergence of Petraka in that midfield, and Viney coming back off his injury had a pretty good year as well. So I've got him ranked a little bit lower, but what are your thoughts on Clayton Oliver?
Yeah, 3 is far too high for me.
Yeah, I've got him at 11. That's where I feel comfortable. Like Supercoach, I'd have him at 3. Yeah, no dramas, but fantasy, I feel more comfortable at 11.
Yeah. Yeah, we're actually in the same spot there, Jono. So.
He's got Lachie Whitfield at number 4. Yeah, I can see it. I can see it. We know he's been an absolute gun, probably going to retain the defender status. What did he average, like 111 the last 2 years ago or even last year? So I've got him at 9 for me. I just think he's my second, actually my first defender. I've got him ranked just above Jake Lloyd. So
above Lloyd?
Yeah, I've got him above Lloyd this year. So I'm pretty hot on Lachie Whitfield, but again, is he a
cop? We're assuming he gets the defender nod.
Yeah, and at 4, I don't think he can be that captain option. I mean, not a perma-captain. He's a captain option, but not the perma-captain, and that's something you'd be looking for, especially in that top 4, where I think there's a couple of other guys there on that list where you can have it as a your perma-captain.
I think this is sort of showing, like we've sort of spoken about this on Twitter in the group chats, that this season the rankings across the board are going to be so wildly different from person to person. And these are super early and we don't have position lists, so take it with a grain of salt. But I think as long as you can tell a story as to why, then and that's okay. Like, you know, if it's time on ground, if it's players coming and going, if you're driving down Narrative Street and saying that the hub got to people, which is fine, just at least have a story to back up where you've got players ranked.
Yeah, yep, absolutely. He's got Taylor Adams coming at number 5. I think that's also a bit of a reach there for Taylor Adams. I mean, he didn't have Treloar for most of the year to contend with, and okay, he was fine, but I don't think Adams has another gear to go
to. I've got him higher.
Oh, really? Wow. Where have you got him?
Well, we'll get to my list later. We'll get to my list later.
Yeah, but yeah, wow, okay. I don't think Adams has another gear to go to, especially with Sidey coming back. you would think without Saidy and Treloar for most of the year, he would have just absolutely brained it, but he did brain it. Oh, he brained it, yeah, but I think the average only came out to 110 or 111. Like,
Oh no.
But I would have expected maybe 117 or something like that. So.
Yeah, but look at the guys who are around him. I can tell stories that they come back, whereas he's had one of the best ball winners in the league leave his team. Sidebottom's older, Pendlebury's older. You're banking on young guys taking all Treloar's possessions. I look at Treloar going to the Bulldogs, and I'm like, man, that's a mess. I don't know what's happening.
Mm.
Brad Crouch going to the Saints. Well, I don't have super heaps of faith in Jack Steele maintaining his bumper year. Like, he might, and that's fine, but I just see an easy path to Adams being 110, 115 mid, and that's what I want.
Yeah. Yeah.
The injuries scare me, though.
That is a big concern. That's why I probably got him ranked a little bit lower. Coming in at 6 and 7, he's got Grundy and Maxi Gawn. Without him knowing, he hasn't given us any reason. I've got them much higher than that because, again, I thought Grundy suffered from being in the bubble, and Max Gawn. He's absolute superstar, and I'd be quite happy to take them much earlier than that.
Well, we'll get to that when we get to it.
We will. Matty Crouch coming at number 8 for Cam. It's going to be interesting, Matty Crouch, because for me, I think he's going to be the guy in that midfield in Adelaide, because Sloan Dog, we love you, pal, but you passed it, and then it's just who? It's just insert third midfielder where it's all for Matty Crouch next year.
Yep.
Andrew Gaff is an interesting one. I think there's just, we've spoken about this, too many mouths to feed. I don't actually have Gaff ranked in my top 12. I know he is an accumulator, but I think with Kelly getting there, they've just found other avenues and don't rely on him as much. He's got Titch at number 10. Zach Merritt at 11 I think is pretty low. I think he can be higher than that. And he's 12 rounds out with Adam Treloar, which I have been toying with Treloar, but man, there's a lot going at the Doggies, as you said, that probably you'd want to stay away from.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Treloar is perfectly fair. I don't, like I said, man, I think there's going to be a lot of variance in lists. You tell a story. I'm not going to argue too much this year.
It's going to be a boring preseason.
Yeah.
I suppose until we see games.
Wait, until I get a bottle of red. What the fuck? No, I think 12's perfectly fair for Treloar. I might have McRae still above him just because of injury. I know McRae still has had a couple in the past, but
yeah, he's had those soft tissues, which has been 1 to 2 weeks.
Anyone can get injured.
You're talking about that narrative. It's just like the clear narrative is that McRae is going to get pushed to that other wing. Treloar's going to take his spot. That's how it feels, but this is Bevo. Who the hell knows what's going to happen? Yeah. He could turn Liver back into a small forward. We don't know.
I also think, like, McRae's been such a good tackler across his whole career, even when on the wing.
Mm.
Who do you want to have the ball in their hands? I'd probably prefer McRae. I mean,
Yeah. I'd agree. I mean, obviously, you know, there's been talk of Treloar's ball use and how he just butchers it going inside 50, but I think that's a blessing for the Bulldogs because our forward line's so shit, so
yeah.
Chaos ball, it's all good.
I think Cam's list, there's some spicy takes.
Mm.
It's real spicy, but I don't, you know, we've only got one player different at the end of the day, so I can't really argue too much.
Yeah, I'm the same. I've got a couple, actually. I'm surprised he didn't have any of the GWS mids in there.
Mm.
And he said, unlucky to miss is Jack Steele, Danger, and Lockie Hunter.
Lockie Hunter?
Mm.
Really? Okay. I see problems for Lockie Hunter.
Yeah, I agree. Like, you can't add in a 30-odd possession midfielder and expect to maintain.
No. Well, what do you got, Jono? You hit us with your spicy takes.
You know me, mate. I'm playing Jane Vanilla. You know me.
Yeah, you are, actually. Yeah, that's true.
I've got Gawn at number 1, Grundy, number 2, fucking Neil, number 3.
Are you just printing off the averages?
Pretty much.
Pretty much.
Josh Kelly at number 4.
Josh Kelly at number 4?
Yes.
God damn, that's...
He's coming back. He's coming back. I've never been a big fan of Josh Kelly, but I did actually have Taranto ahead of him, but I chickened out last minute and swapped it out.
You got, oh my goodness me. Zach, really?
Yeah, Zach.
Even with his I'm vanilla. Also, I'll take the most injury-plagued midfielder of all time.
Hey, these are in the rankings. Oh. Doesn't mean I'll take him. You know me.
Yeah, wow.
Zach Merritt, number 5. Again, with Josh Dunkley not there, he's just going to rack up the pill as he likes. Taranto at number 6. I think he gets back to his best. He went 110 before that shoulder injury last year. He'll get back to his best. Matty Crouch at number 7. Probably could go higher, but I'm happy with him there. Neil at 8. Probably from Merritt.
I like it, Jono.
Merritt and Neil. That's my block. That's like a solid block there of one.
I don't know about Toronto, man. I can't see him getting all that perm mid-time.
I'll explain it. I'll get to it. Lucky Whitfield, 9. Jake Lloyd, 10. Oliver, 11. And I went with Adams at number 12. And I had Treloar and McRae just missing out. I wasn't too sure where to put them there.
Yeah.
So we'll go back to the Taranto bit there. The way I see it is we saw Canelio play a lot more time forward. So I think they need that bull in that midfield, and that's what Taranto is. So it'd be Taranto in there. You'd probably see Hopper and maybe Tom Green rotating out in there with Josh Kelly as well, with Canelio playing through bits and pieces in there. That's why I think Taranto gets back to his 110 average from, was it last year?
Yeah, I don't disagree. I think you'll see a lot of Hopper, a lot of Tom Green in there. You'll see Canelio in there. I think Toronto is so good. I mean, he's good everywhere, but...
Mm. I just think he's that big bull in there that they need.
Maybe.
That's my narrative. I'm sticking
to it. Well, okay, fair enough. That's fine. You're telling the story. There's a lot of guys in that midfield and...
Yeah, well, I don't think Ward's getting any midfield time next year if he plays. Like, I think they're going to give it to Tom Green to develop more, whereas Ward just like phases out sort of thing, and he'll just be a bit player going forward next year. I think Callum Ward, just the wrong side of 30.
Yeah, fair enough. And the Rucks straight off the
top.
So you think they're such good set? They're the gold standard. Is what you're saying.
Yeah, just get them set, forget, and you'll be fine. I've got no qualms in
So you had Gawn at 1.
Gawn 1.
So you've got Gawn over Grundy, obviously.
Yeah.
I've got Gawn behind Grundy this year.
It's not like splitting hairs, but
yeah.
I just think Gawn next year is gonna be better than Grundy.
I think they have to play more Jackson next year.
Same can be said for Collingwood. You looked at Grundy, they just flogging a dead horse there at one stage, and they had Darcy Cameron and Darcy Cameron playing at stages in there. So again, who the hell knows what happens with next year? We are getting longer quarters. We don't know what they are just yet. Could be 18, could be back to the 20 minutes, we're not sure yet. And the rules will be interesting as well. The new ruling effect, you know, the ball goes out of bounds, everyone's got to run back to the into the inside 50, and that it's going to be
it's fucking ridiculous, isn't it?
Bloody oh! So does that give more time to ruckmans, or is it going to play more to the part time ruckman or slash like a Tom Hawkins type setup? It's
who knows
exactly. We're just throwing darts here, people, and we'll see where it sticks.
So my list is going to be quite different from everyone else's. I've got Tom Mitchell at number 1.
Yeah, I can see it. I can see.
I'm going straight back to the great man. Hawthorn haven't done a hell of a lot. I think towards the end of the year he got back to his best. Not back to his best, but he got better.
That fitness came back, I think. Like,
yeah, that's what I saw. Give him. You know, we looked at some of those other guys like Fife and that with the broken leg, and it took him a little while to get going. So I gave him this year off, and hopefully he'll be prime next year. Did throw Lachie Neal in at number 2. I've got Matty Crouch in at 3. The boy from Beaufort. Averaged 101 in the second half of the year.
Yeah.
Which, with that reduced, with the BCV, holy shit, that's like 169. I've got Taylor Adams at 4. He rounds out my top tier mids. Treloar out. He's the main man in that midfield. He's the leader. He's the bull. Does it all. I think Collingwood could be a bit improved. They were very middle of the road with everything Collingwood this year. I think Jeremy Howe back next year can help sort out their defence a bit. And I just see Taylor Adams continuing. We've seen him be very good in the past. I got Grundy at 5. I don't really want to draft a ruckman this year. I see a lot of late value. But again, he's such a good every week captain option. I've got Gawn at 6, Lloyd at 7, started my defender tiers, Whitfield at 8. Don't really know what's happening in the forwards, Jono, but I'll just finish off my
list. Yeah, we'll get to that in a minute.
My list. I've got Zaret at 9, another Western Victorian. There's a lot of Western Victorians, Jono, is what I noticed.
Slightly biased towards the
Did you know WV? Lockie Neal spent a lot of time in Apsley as a young lad, which is, of course, on the far reaches of Western Victoria. Jake Lloyd, Western Victorian. Yeah, it's good. Zaret in at 9. Josh Kelly at 10. I actually thought that was an aggressive rank.
Neck minute.
Neck minute. Yeah, yeah. I got Oliver at 11. And I got Gaff at 12. My honorables were Mitch Duncan is about it.
Yeah, I can see him being that mainstayer in that midfield.
He just does it, man. His average kind of got torpedoed with an 11 in injury game. So he's kind of right there with the other guys. I think Geelong will be solid again, and he's a guy who's pretty safe. Not, you know what his role is going to be. So
yeah, exactly.
Can we talk about the forwards, John?
Yeah, we had a lot of questions saying, you know, Dunkley's going to be top 2, top 3, top 4, whatever. Same with Danger and that. If they've got the forward status next year. I mean, the Western Bulldogs, as we know, it's just got massive question marks regardless. I mean, so many mouths to feed. Dunkley's come out and said, going to earn the respect and force his way for permanent midfield time. So that's suggesting to me that Bevo's looking to use him as that mid-sized forward rolling into the midfield. So there is a chance for that forward status, how much midfield time he gets. Who the hell knows? He probably might split it 50-50, 60-40 with Bont, who we know is another option going forward. If he is Dangerfield, I think he might spend more time. I don't know. Dangerfield's a conundrum. What are your thoughts on him? Because I have a feeling he won't be playing as much midfield time as we think.
Some weeks he'll be in there, some weeks he won't. Probably depends how other guys are going, depends how injuries are going.
Yeah, I mean, they've got, Higgins in there, and you got an aging Selwood, and Selwood can only play midfield. Higgins can play small, crumbing mid-forward as well, similar to the Ablett role, but Ablett got no mid-time, but they got Cameron now, so do they need Dangerfield in that forward line?
Well, I don't think they do, but it makes them fucking dangerous if he's up there.
True.
They were saying Higgins is going to assume the Ablett role, so okay, that's fine. He's out of the midfield. Guthrie was awesome this year.
Yep. Jack Stephen retired, start. So don't worry about that.
Who, sorry?
Jack Stephen retired.
Oh, no, Jesus. They got to start giving more midfield time to guys like Parfitt. Surely.
Yeah. They've got to start looking at some of the next generation come through, like the Clarks and that as well, because they're just going to go.
Yeah, I don't see him being inside, though.
No, but they still need to give him game time. You know, the Menegol I'm not worried about because he got his scores off the halfback and the wing. So I'd actually love it if he got defender status, but I don't think it's going to happen.
No, and they got not that he's
Isaac Smith.
A massive accumulator. They did get him.
Yeah. But does that mean Duncan spends more time inside mid because of it?
I wouldn't have thought so. I mean, this is my thing, was even if these guys get forward status, are you taking them round one?
Shit, no. They'd be a perfect turn candidate.
I mean, maybe if you said, oh, like, there's Danger and Dunkley, and you've sort of got a few of your guys, and you took him at the back of round one because you knew you were going to get one of the others on the wrap in round two, then okay, they're a round one pick, but it's interchangeable.
Yeah, absolutely. And you could probably throw Dusty in that too, that he gets forward status as well.
I think he took too many CBAs, didn't he? But I think you'll see guys like Zorko bob up.
Yeah.
Potentially.
I mean, we spoke about Sidebum retaining.
Sidebum didn't get in the CBAs, but obviously he starts a lot on the wing as well. So, I mean, if he actually got forward status, I'd have him above the other two.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So, and that was going back to Dunkley. His starting position was inside the 50, but would then run to the contest in the center squares.
It was like when Devin Smith had that massive year a couple of years ago.
That's right. There's talks of him getting defender status and playing the Adam Saad role next year, which would be quite handy.
Yeah, well, he did play a lot in defense at the end of the year.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know, man. Forwards, I feel like I'm just happy to punt them if I can get one of these. I just want one of the defenders.
Yeah, I think Whitfield and Lloyd are going to be your standout. I think, would you take the risk on Jeremy Howe coming back?
No, God, no.
He'd be 30 next year. Who are the other top defenders? Luke Ryan was up there. You'd probably take him again.
Well, will Zach Williams be up there?
Will Zach Williams be up there?
Tom Stewart.
Tom Stewart.
It's too early for Tom Stewart, round one. Come on.
Yeah. Definitely a good round two pick. But, yeah, I'm totally on board with you. Like, I'm not a big forwards kind of guy. I generally like to grab them late and even just play the waiver wire with my forwards. And I'm completely punting forwards next year. And unless Warney can give us a heads up early on who the hell these forwards are going to be, because, as we know, he does pick... Whatever.
He does make the positions. That is. We have established that.
And, you know, every article he's been putting out, he's strong indication Dunkley will be a forward in 2021.
Yeah, it's...
But I don't
know. You know who will be a good forward is Rowan Marshall.
He should definitely get the forward status.
He will get the forward status.
But you know what? I hope Dunkley and Danger do get that forward status, because then there's a very good chance there's going to be people in your leagues who are going to overdraft them way too early, leaving, we'll say, a Whitfield or a Clayton Oliver there at the back end, potentially of the first round, for you to scoop up and grab Danger or Martin there in the on the turn. So I'd be pretty happy with that.
It'll be interesting to see what happens with the listings.
But it seems we're all pretty keen on Matt Crouch. You had him at, what, three, four, did you say?
Three.
Three, yeah.
How can he not be? No one tags him. His second half was blistering. There's no one there,
and
literally no one.
And the thing,
and Brody Smith's the tag target. Like,
and the thing was, when Brad was out injured, we know Matt was the handball to kick ratio was more in favour of the handball. But when Brad was out, his kick to handball improved far more than what it was. So. Obviously, more kicks for Matt Crouch next year, you would think.
Oh, he's just a solid pick. And a good ruckman knocking him the pill.
Yeah, absolutely. Jake Lloyd, number one. Damn, Cam. Damn. I'd love to know what his thoughts on Hunter was. He can maybe talk about that next week.
Hunter? Well, I think he just had a massive year.
He only played in the 9 games. He had 115 in Supercoach.
Well, it was like 95, which is what he averages normally, and this time it was in 20% less game time.
Yeah. No, it's going to be, as you said, it's going to be a very, very variant year for in rankings come 2021. I think the rucks will be pretty solid. Maybe the first 15 or 20 defenders, and then it's just going to be open slather on the mids, I reckon, next year.
Well, I think this is always the tough part, is we try to have a bit of discussion about what round one will look like, but we don't know the depth of the positions. Obviously, if we're stripped of all these forwards and you get a Dunkley who stands out, then maybe he does become a mid-round one pick, Jono, because he's just better than everyone else by a mile, sort of thing. Like, that can happen.
Yeah, I think they still try to balance it out where they don't make... Like they used to back in the old days. It's like, here's 50 awesome defenders and bugger all forwards. I think they try to balance it out these days.
Well, it can happen. That's all I'm saying.
Come on, Warnie. Make it happen.
I mean, if Tom Phillips is a forward, you know, at Hawthorn, I'll be interested.
Yeah, I'd like to see that one. I'd definitely be interested as well. Like, he's assuming that Isaac Smith role, and yeah, he's going to smash it next year. Absolutely smash it.
I definitely want a late round one pick again. This is a bad year to have an early pick.
Is it though?
Oh, I reckon it is.
I don't know. I've never had an early pick, so I couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
Hey, but 1 month.
I just look at the back of the round. I'm like, yeah, shit. Zaret at 9. You know, Whitfield.
Yeah,
like Oliver. Give me all that.
Zaret and Lloyd in the first and second picks. You'd be pretty stoked with that.
Yeah.
Hmm. All right. So,
I'm a bit disappointed we didn't get to do the Seinfeld draft.
Hey, we can do our top five. We can just do a top five non-main characters. We can do that if you want.
Yeah, okay, let's do that. Well, this changes everything because we're not going to vote on that.
No. We'll just have our top five. I mean, I can say three straight off the bat. Four. I know four straight off the bat that I absolutely love.
Yeah.
I'll start with I haven't got number five, but I'll start with number four. It's Jay Peterman. Got to have Jay Peterman in there.
Love Jay Peterman. He's probably my number one.
Jackie Charles is number three.
I reckon the people were overrating Jackie Charles.
Short and sharp, but that's what he was so good. He was effective for the amount of screen time he had. Putty. Everyone loves Putty.
Everyone does love Putty.
And we put the tweet out, you know, people saying Putty and Jackie Charles and that. But they missed probably my number one. And that's Tim Whatley. He's got to be the best non-main character on that show. Like, you got porn in there, you're converting to Judaism. Like,
yeah, for the jokes. Yeah.
Maybe Steinbrenner? Oh, no, can't.
I love Steinbrenner. Steinbrenner's fucking awesome. I got, Jay Peterman, and then Steinbrenner. I got probably Frank Costanza at number three.
Yeah, I could put. Yeah, hard to get go past.
He's got so many Festivus.
I know.
Festivus, for God's sake. I love Bookman. Bookman's like one of my greatest characters I've ever seen in anything ever. He's like Scorpio.
Yeah, The Simpsons. Yeah.
Like, Scorpio is like the best
character ever.
And he's up there. And I love Banya.
Yeah, I had Banya, but like, I only had 12 or 13 names, but yeah, he was on there.
I had Newman. One no one mentioned was, there was two guys who no one mentioned who I was like, yeah, and that's Klompus, Jack Klompus. You remember the old dude at the retirement village who always
Mr. Seinfeld's neighbor.
Yeah, he's got the pen.
Yeah.
He's good. Mr. Pitt.
I had Mr. Pitt on my list.
Yeah.
I had him there. Oh, man, the chocolate bars. I need white socks, damn it.
And Elaine's dad.
Oh, he was good. He was good.
He was fucking great.
Crazy.
Dude out of Reservoir Dogs.
Did you put Keith Hernandez in there?
Keith Hernandez is on my list.
Good. I had him on my list. Would you take Art Vandelay?
No. You know who I had on my list who didn't get mentioned as well was Bette Midler.
She was good.
Bette Midler. Yeah. She was just going off her head.
Raquel Welsh?
Yeah. She was fine. And because I was like doing my list, I'm like, man, there's not a lot of women. But George's mum was funny. And that Sue Ellen Mishke was funny.
Dolores?
No. Yeah. Great show.
There was who was the chicken guy? Kenny? The chicken guy? Do you remember that episode?
Well, the chicken guy.
He was Jerry's mate. He's like a business exec. And he like blows off a meeting.
Oh, yeah.
And he gets like the rat hat. That was a good episode. Good episode. But yeah, that so many good non-characters. Good non-main characters. I mean, see, it's funny. I had Soup Nazi on the list, but I still probably wouldn't have him in the top five.
I would have drafted him because it would have got
the popular pick,
but I'm not. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, it would have been interesting to see how we could probably still do the draft, see how we go.
Nah. Fuck it. I'm over it. I'll be over that next week. I'm over it now, Jono.
All right. We will wrap up the show. If you want to follow us on social media, you can do that by checking us out on Twitter and the Facebooks. If you've got any questions or queries or any freedom drafts you want us to do, hit us up there. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Draft Doctors Podcast. For more tips and in-depth analysis, head over to thedraftdoctors.com.au.